This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. I want to dive into a bunch of things as far as the games last night, but I do want to mention something that I really wanted to get into a little bit earlier this week, and I'm not sure if a lot of people heard the news about Dale Hawerchuk. He's suffering from stomach cancer. He's going to go through some chemotherapy. We found out that information a little bit earlier on this week, and he's in for the fight of his life. And if you're my age, I'm 51 years old, going to be 52 in February, you certainly know the exploits of this player. Came right into the league like a house on fire in Winnipeg and just established himself in a tremendous Hall of Fame career, just a pure goal scorer, but a really, really good person in this league. And the one thing that hockey has always been able to do is rally around people that are sick and going through some things. So I wanted to mention that right off the top and just hope nothing but the best for him in the future. Slew of games last night. Sharks starting to get their legs a little bit here. They've had a very tough start to their season. Beginning of the year were some injuries. Then they had kind of a crazy schedule, early Eastern swing, and they're putting it together now. They're 4-5-1, but you take a look at what they did against the Buffalo Sabres. They blew a two-goal lead, but they did manage a point in that one. And they really took care of Montreal last night. And the Canadiens very average at 4-4-2. Still looking for that legit goal scorer. They haven't been able to find it. And really the godsend for San Jose has been Evander Kane. He's quietly becoming a star in this league. A couple of tallies last night and an assist. So he's got six goals. He had a couple of goals on the power play after Cousins scored his first goal as a Canadian. It was all San Jose after that for the 4-2 win. So the Sharks starting to put it together. Coyotes lose for the first time in forever as they drop a decision to the Islanders by the final score of 4-2. Josh Bailey gets a couple of points in this one, including a goal. Islanders felt like they haven't played in a while, so that's a good win for them. The Coyotes will be in New Jersey coming up tonight, and New Jersey's a team that hasn't played since last Saturday afternoon. I was at the Garden with my producer, RJ Santillo from Rochester, New York. He wanted to see his Sabres this year, and the Rangers really put it together. They stopped their 0-4-1 slide with a 6-2 win over the Sabres. Now, this game was a lot closer than I think the score indicates, but really the turning point to me was the first period, because the first period has really been when the Rangers have struggled. For the three consecutive games, they allowed the first goal, usually grossly outshot. They allowed 20 shots on Sunday to Vancouver, 21 shots to Arizona on Tuesday, and they just get off to these slow starts and they can't dig themselves out of it. Happened in Washington last Friday. It certainly happened to the Canuck game on Sunday when they were down 3-0 after one period of play. Well, they missed on an opportunity on the power play when the Sabres got too many men on the ice, and you started to think, all right, is this going to be another one of those days again? But Panarin gets a great goal, strips Dahlin, scores his fifth of the season, and then Howden gets the goal, his second. Good second effort from him. Didn't get the first shot, got the second shot. Great feed from Faust and Lemieux, which is a brand new line, by the way. Strome getting a chance to play with a couple of different people. Had two goals, including a tally from Shea and D'Angelo at the end of the first period, to make it 3-0. There were times where Buffalo fought back. They got a goal from Scandella on an awful turnover from Kako to make it 3-1. But now D'Angelo, he now has 4 points in his last two games, three goals in his last two games. He gets his fourth. Sobotka scores late in the third. And David Quinn talked about the fragility of this Rangers team. And you began to wonder, give up a late goal, 4-2 in the third period. Third periods have been tough for the Rangers this year. And the Rangers really responded. They got the only two goals. Strome gets his second of the night. Kreider finally scores a goal. It was in garbage time, but he finally gets his first goal of the season from Fox, who gets his first point in the National Hockey League, and the Rangers roll to the 6-2 win. Henrik Lundqvist, I thought, looked good for career victory number 451, and that was a must win for the Rangers. I wouldn't freak out. You know, everybody's waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Buffalo Sabres. It's a good team. Like to see Jimmy Vesey get going a little bit. He's been quietly cold, 16 straight games now without a goal, so he has not scored so far as a Buffalo Sabre. That's something that has to get going. Skinner took a couple of bad penalties late in the game. So Botka gets his first of the year. But, you know, Dahlin still looks like he's going through some growing pains there. But I think the Sabres team is still very good and still very dangerous. The Rangers were just due, and they got the win. And the Rangers will have two more games on this homestand. They'll play Sunday against Boston, then Tuesday against Tampa. So it doesn't get any easier for the Rangers. Great game in Columbus between the Blue Jackets and the Hurricanes. Blue Jackets draw first blood. But it was the Hurricanes that scored three unanswered goals in the second. Hamilton's got six. I mean, between him and Carlson, it's going to be a really interesting, you know, debate who's going to end up with that Norris Trophy. DeZingle and Aho get tallies as well. And it's 3-1 going into the second period. Excuse me, it was the three unanswered goals by the Hurricanes in the first period. In the second period, Murray and Molino get goals to tie it up at three, including Sonny's goal, which came with less than 3 minutes to play, and then they go to overtime. Atkinson gets the game-winning goal. Great individual effort, 3:28 in. So that's a nice win for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Hurricanes find a way to get a point, but still they had a 3-1 lead after one period of play. Couldn't hold on to it. Blues beat the Kings 5-4. You know, that's a game you got to get home against the Los Angeles Kings, although the Kings have played better as of late. So they really spread the wealth around here, but having a great season. Braden Schenn's got a brand new contract, 7-8 now on the year for him. So he's becoming a legitimate star in this league. The Wild come back down to earth after a couple of consecutive wins. They go to Nashville. They beat the Predators 4-0. So the Predators have scored 10 goals in their last two games. Philadelphia knocks off the Blackhawks in that one 4-1 the final score. So that's two straight wins for the Flyers over the Blackhawks. Remember, they played in the Czech Republic, and Philadelphia won that one. Giroux gets his first of the year. Van Riemsdyk gets his first of the year. Still waiting on what's happening with the Ghost. Gostisbehere has been a no-show, just one power play point so far this year. That's just been a mystery, because I really love that kid coming out, but Philadelphia still gets the win. Stars beginning to roll a bit. They get a 3-1 win over the Ducks. Ducks now have lost a couple in a row. Maybe the best game of the night was in Calgary between the Flames and the Panthers. The two picks that I had for my ice picks, I had the Stars on the money line. I got that right. I had the Panthers on the money line, and it seesawed back and forth. Panthers give up a couple of goals to fall behind 4-2 in the third period. And Giordano gets the goal 5:16 into the third period to make a 4-2. So you figure, all right, it's not going to be my night. It's not going to be the Panthers' night. But they get a couple of quick goals to tie it. Josh Brown gets his first of the year. And Dadonov gets his fifth. Barkov assists on both of them. Barkov ended up having a four-point night. He is emerging as one of the best players in this league. I got asked on Twitter about a few days ago, who's the greatest Panther in history? Well, it's a little early right now to decide that, but he's got a very good chance. He had 96 points last year. He's got a chance at 100 points this year. When it's all said and done, Barkov may end up being the greatest Panther of all time. But he does a great job with 4 points last night. And then Pezik gets his first of the year to make it 5-4 with 5 minutes to go in the game. So you went from they're going to lose to now they've got the lead, and I thought I was golden with my ice pick. But Bennett scores to tie the game with less than 3 minutes to play. They go to the shootout, and the Flames get both goals in the shootout from Monahan and Tkachuk, and they ice it away. So the Panthers get a nice point considering they were down two in the third period, but they had the lead late, couldn't hold on to it. That was a fun game. And the Oilers finally wake up. Oilers started 7-1-1. They lost back-to-back games, getting shut out in both games. And finally, Nurse gets them off the schneid late in the first period to give them a 1-0 lead. But then it's all Washington the rest of that second period as Vrana gets his fourth. Ovechkin gets goals 8 and 9 on the season. He's just a machine. All right, so they got the 3-1 lead going into the third period. Doesn't look like it's going to be Edmonton's night. Draisaitl gets the goal to make it 3-2. McDavid scores late with the goaltender pulled at 18:22 to tie the game up at 3. And then Leon Draisaitl, an amazing feed from McDavid to win the game in overtime. And we can have a really interesting conversation. Who are the two best players? We can talk about the best lines in the National Hockey League, but who are the best combos in the league? And I'd be hard-pressed to think of anybody better than Draisaitl and McDavid. And when you put them three-on-three in overtime, they are unbelievably dangerous. That is a fun team to watch. Now, Carlson gets a point. Now, Carlson is, it's the first time since 1969 that through 23 days of the season, a defenseman leads the league in points. And the last time that happened was 1969 when Bobby Orr led the league in points through the first 23 days of the season. I mean, that's kind of amazing, and that's the kind of year that John Carlson is having so far. So Capitals get a point after beating Calgary. They get a point in Edmonton. It's always tough to be able to get points on the Western Canadian swing, since when you look at those three teams, they're all actually playing pretty well. The Flames were a playoff team last year. Edmonton's off to an amazing start. Vancouver's off to a very good start. So good job out of Washington to at least be able to accumulate some points there in Western Canada. All right, tonight we've got a bunch of games for a Friday. It's actually a pretty busy schedule. I got a 6 o'clock, a rare 6 o'clock start in Vegas. So the first game is going to be out west, the Golden Knights and the Avalanche. This should be fun. I don't think anybody would be surprised if these two teams are playing for the Western Conference Championship. Sharks in Toronto to take on the Maple Leafs. That's a tough second of back-to-backs for the Sharks. So keep an eye on that as they're trying to get back to 500. As I mentioned, the Devils haven't played since Saturday afternoon. They will be home for the Coyotes. The Coyotes playing the second of back-to-back. Same for the Islanders. They'll be in Ottawa to take on the Senators. Red Wings and the Sabres. Sabres in the second of back-to-backs as well. And the same for the Capitals. They'll be in Vancouver to take on the Canucks. So the Capitals, the Sabres, the Islanders, the Devils, the Sharks, all playing in the second of back-to-backs tonight. So that's what we are looking at here in the playoff, in the regular season to start, and it's been a lot of fun. And of course, now I didn't get this going right away because I thought it was a little silly too early in the season to start ranking teams when you consider there's so much, such a juxtaposition. Some teams have played like 5 games, other teams have played 10 games, but now that we're deep into October now, going into the final weekend of October, I think it is time for this.
Don LaGreca's Friday Top 5.
Yeah! You know, squeezing into the first top 5 of the year, I'm going to go with the Canucks. Now, that might surprise a lot of people. They're ranked 11th in the NHL, but hear me out on this one. They've won a couple of games in a row, all right? They've been very good at home, 3-0-0. They've got a plus 11 goal differential, which is one of the best in the league. And they're surprising a lot of people. And I'm telling you, that blue line is deep. We've talked about that before. They've got 3 legitimate offensive players led by Horvat and Pettersson and Hughes on the blue line. This is a very, very good team. And I also think we deserve, Travis Green deserves a lot of credit for being a very, very good coach. I mean, it's tough to be able to get recognized when your team isn't winning. But now he's got a team that got off to a quick start last year, so we got to keep an eye on that. But so far, I think Vancouver is deserving to be in the top 5. They have played very, very well so far this season.
Number four,
I am going to go with the Carolina Hurricanes. They lost in overtime, 6-3-1 in their last 10, but they got a plus 4 goal differential. They're 3-1 at home. They're 3-2-1 on the road, so they've been very consistent. Aho has been good for them. They have played with some tremendous defense. They've played with some very good goaltending. And let's face it, there was a lot of people that were dubious about this team going in because they've made runs in the past, even with different regimes, different coaches, different players. But for whatever reason, Carolina makes a run the next year, they do nothing. And when you consider some of the losses they had, they lose Falk, they lose Williams, and the feeling was, well, maybe Carolina is going to take another step back again. But that has not been the case. They've continued to play very, very well, and I think they're very deserving to be in that top 5 position.
Number 3.
You know, it's really tough because there's so many good teams that we could put there, but I still think the Boston Bruins have to be in the top echelon of teams. They are 6-1-2 in their last 10 games, plus 6 goal differential, and they are just, I was asked earlier who's the most balanced team in the league, and they're certainly very balanced. They've got the leading goal scorer in Pastrnak. They've got a very consistent blue line, good goaltending. Boston's going to be up there all year long. There's no question in there. I think they're deserving to be in the top 5 for sure.
Number two,
I'm still going to go with Colorado, despite their first loss in forever. They're the second best team in the National Hockey League as far as record's concerned, 7-1-1, a plus 12. We'll keep an eye on what's happening with Rantanen, and that breaks up the top line because of his injury. He's listed as week to week, so you know he's going to be out for a pretty decent period of time. But this Colorado team, they've only played 9 games, and yet they still have the second most points in the National Hockey League. And they are deep. This is not the team from a couple of years ago that was top heavy with just one line. They've got goaltending and Grubauer. They've got deep players that can play. Donskoy was a great acquisition for them. So I look at Colorado as being number two on the list.
Number one. Yeah!
And I'm going to go with Buffalo at 8-2-1, 17 points, plus 10 goal differential, undefeated at home, only two regulation losses all year, and both of them happened on the road. So Buffalo, I don't know how sustainable it is. They've got to get some points out of VC for sure. Darlene sometimes looks a little bit lost, but they have Skinner, who's just having an amazing year. Eichel, he had a really bad turnover last night, but he's emerging as one of the best players in the league. Their goaltending is probably the best thing about this team so far, so I've got them at number one. So I know a lot of people are going to freak out. Where's Edmonton? Well, they did pick up a win last night, but getting shut out back-to-back, I think they're kind of doing it with mirrors a little bit. So Edmonton, I just had a little bit on the outside looking in, but I think they're kind of banging on the door. Again, it's still very early in the season. I think Vegas can stake a claim for being a top five team for sure, but I wanted to give some love to Vancouver because I'm not sure they're going to be able to sustain being in the top five for the rest of the year. But very difficult to do it this year. But you can argue with me at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. So let's go right to the tweet. Steve says, hey, Don, just thinking about Malkin's injury and was wondering, on what other teams aside from Edmonton would Gino be the number two center? Well, he would definitely be the number two center with the New York Rangers. I don't know if you're trying to hint at where Malkin is so far in his career, but I think what you're trying to say is that there that when you have Sidney Crosby, it's tough to break. Like, so who is a center that's better than him? I mean, there's probably a few that are in that category. I think Zibanejad is starting to emerge as a top center, but you're right. The Pittsburgh Penguins have lost their second best player. They have lost somebody who could be in the top 5-6 in the National Hockey League. That's a tough injury, but you make a very good point. Malkin is still, despite his age, probably among the two or three best centers in the National Hockey League. Toady says, what's the deal with Chicago? The team has talent but can't hold a lead or find a way to dig deep and get a win. What's needed to right the ship? Well, they're kind of in the same spot the Rangers are, where they're in a rebuild. You wouldn't think they are because they've got Taves, they've got Kane, they've got Keith, they've got some players that are in the upper echelon in the league. But they still are trying to find their way. A lot of changes there. You've got the new coach there who hasn't had a full season yet. So they're interesting. They probably should be better than they are right now. But I don't get fooled. Blackhawks, three cups in 8 years, Hall of Fame players on the team. They're just not very deep. And you have to be deep in this league to be good. And so far, they're trying to find. Same thing with Detroit. Detroit has some high-end players, too, with Theneciu and Larkin, but they're just not deep enough to be able to compete every single night. Donnell says, you have to hashtag game misconduct or else you won't read your tweet on the podcast. Okay, so somebody was asking about that. I guess we can move on from there. Tim says, is Strome capable of playing this well the rest of the season? He took a huge weight off Zibanejad last night. Fun fact, they were both ranked 5th and 6th overall in 2011, but by different teams. On paper, holding both of them should be a steal. Well, I need to see it be sustainable for Strome. This is a kid that was drafted 5th overall by the Islanders, didn't live up to expectations, bounce around the league. He's found a home with the Rangers. So far this year, he has not shown me he's a number two center. Last night, he did. So again, it's consistency. Trying to find a way to be able to bring it every single night. Now, coaches change lines a lot, so he's played with different personnel. But that's what the Rangers are looking for here. Will Howden emerge as a big-time center? Will Anderson grow as a big-time center? Strome certainly isn't what the Islanders picked up with the 5th overall pick, but he was a good player last year, a consistent player down the stretch. They've given him some more minutes and some more responsibility. Let's see if it can happen for him. Robert says, do you think D'Angelo could become a real offensive weapon for the Rangers? Interesting that none of his 4 goals were on shots from the point, all from slot area. But what that shows me, he's got an instinct and a nose for the net, right? I look at the goals that he has scored. You're right. They're not blasts from the point on the power play. This is when he's pinching, when he's picking up rebounds. He's showing an instinct to score. Now, He's got to be able to learn how to get back. You don't want him playing like where he's pinching and causing odd man rushes the other way. He has to remember he's not Paul Coffey, all right? He's a defenseman that is going to have to think D first at times, but Quinn does like his defenseman to join the rush. But he is also going to have to show that responsibility of being able to stay back and not always getting too hungry for goals. It's like a baseball player who's not a home run hitter. He hits a bunch of home runs and he changes his swing and he screws everything up. So you want to make sure that he knows exactly when to do it at the right times and balance it out. But so far, he's been very, very good for this team. Chris says, hi, Don. It's only two games, but I like what I've seen so far from Joel Fabbri. With Nolan Patrick expected in a couple of weeks, is that a team that could possibly have one of the best three lines in the NHL, quite possibly JVR, Patrick, and Fabbri? You mean Fabbri, I mean the third line. Yeah, JVR got his first goal this year. Patrick has got to be able to stay healthy, but you're right, there is potential there. But Van Riemsdyk has to be able to find a little bit more consistency, and I think a lot of that has to do with who he's been playing with. Patrick has to be able to stay healthy, but you're right, that could emerge as a very deep team offensively for Philadelphia. I'd be very interested to ask you, Chris, maybe you can get back and we can talk about it on Monday with EJ. How concerned are you as a Flyer fan with Gostisbehere and his inability to get things going? Patrick says, who is your favorite or best defenseman in the NHL right now? Oh, it's a great question. There's so many really good defensemen. But right now, it's going to sound like I'm just kind of joining the bandwagon because he's having such a great start to the season. But I've always liked John Carlson, and it's really coming together for him. So good for him that he's having that kind of year. You know, PK has always been a favorite of mine as well. I like the way he plays. I think the NHL needs more play like that. Yossi's always somebody that I have fun calling games when I'm in Nashville, and I'll be in Nashville next Saturday. I'm looking forward to that. I loved him. I loved calling his games at the World Cup of Hockey. I love his ability to skate. You know, those are some of the defensemen I can think of off the top of my head. I've always been a Trouba fan as well in Winnipeg, and now getting a chance to see him play with the Rangers, a great combination of defensive skill, physicality, and a nose for the net, and can also see the ice. I've always liked him as a defenseman as well. I don't want to leave anybody out. Just kind of bouncing around in my head some of the good defensemen. And you know what? Maybe it's because he's older and I've seen him for a long time, but yeah, I've always been partial to Zdeno Chara too. I mean, just a guy that can play as well as he's played during the course of his career. Just some of the names that I'm rattling around in my head right now. And John says, last night Kako was on the first line with Zibanejad and Kreider, putting Panarin on the second line with Strom and Buchnevich. Is it better to change up lines every so often during a season or keep them together to develop chemistry? Well, right now, you're early in the season and early in a rebuild. Right now, Quinn's trying to find the right combinations. I believe that staying consistent is the best way to build the chemistry. But right now, you are still in the infancy of this thing, trying to figure out what works. You know, you don't have a long training camp. You don't have a lot of preseason games. So you almost spend the month of October still tooling around trying to figure out, all right, Zibanejad's hot. I'm trying to get wins. I'm trying to get guys going. Let's play Kreider with Zibanejad. Let's play Foss with Zibanejad. Let's play Kako with Zibanejad. But the other centers have to play better, and then you can kind of put it together. Maybe last night was where it comes together for the Rangers. They finally had some depth scoring. Their centers played well. Strom with two goals. Howden with a couple of assists. It was finally somebody other than whoever was playing with Zibanejad. Kreider finally got his first goal of the season. So maybe this could be the jumping off point. They took on a really good team. They did all the things they were hoping to do and accomplish. So let's see. They've got a tough task against Boston on Sunday. You've got the defending President's Trophy winners coming up Tuesday. Then you got to go on the road to take on Nashville. So it might be difficult to get points just because of the fact that you're playing real quality teams. But right now it's just trying to find the right line combinations. But to answer your question, John, once they think they found it, you want to keep it together. How can you develop chemistry if every other day you're playing with a different center? The only thing that has been consistent for the Rangers is the four guys staying at center. Nobody's had to play wing. They've all stayed at center, and the fourth line has been basically together with the exception of the Haley McKeag changes. But, you know, for the most part, that fourth line with Smith and Anderson, at least together, has been there. Otherwise, it's been a mishmash, and it's hard to build the consistency. But hopefully tomorrow, last night was the jumping off point for what we might see coming up on Sunday. All right. Big weekend of hockey, a lot of games. You want to get in touch with me, the easy way to do it is at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. EJ back with us again on Monday, so we're looking forward to that. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. And if you want to argue about the top five, go right ahead. At Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. Talk to you again on Monday. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct podcast wherever you get your podcasts.